All right, good morning. Good morning. You guys looking good today? Where's your costumes? When you come to the house of God, I encourage you to put off your mask. So, that's nothing to do with our children wearing costumes. I'm speaking spiritual now, aren't I? God bless you. You may be seated. I appreciate you being here today. I appreciate the patience of those of you online. We're so happy you're here with us. Some good things Micah just said there, wasn't it? Put on the new man. We've got something very specific going on. And if you joined us Wednesday night, the one thing I wanted to do was make sure that we're all very aware of what's happening. Because the joining of the new man. See, this journey we've been on at the church here has been pretty incredible. Very incredible, hasn't it? I mean, what an amazing thing God has done in our church. And the joy and the life and the spirit of resurrection that is among us is phenomenal. So while the glory of the Lord has told us we'll enter into the rest, be filled with the Holy Ghost, the embodiment of Christ himself within us, that's awesome. Walking in the Spirit as the believers of God, but not only that, now we're getting into an area where we're defining the idea of becoming all things new. And that means we put on a new person created in Christ Jesus. So these scriptures Micah just read are very important, because if we are his workmanship created, that means it kind of reminds me of the way Jesus handled his disciples. And you remember, only Jesus could tell them what to do. Only Jesus. And when the Pharisees or the falsehood of the Jews and those that would come and they would go after the disciples, why aren't your disciples doing this? And why aren't they doing that? And Jesus would step up and say, what's going on here? These are my disciples. I will create them. I will instruct them. And that's the way God, that's a good example of the workmanship of God, is where he says, Paula, you belong to me. I create you. And yeah, the devil, yeah, we'll use him to sharpen your sword. And we'll use him to fine-tune you in the word of the Lord. But he's not the one creating you. Right, Marty? It's not the devil creating you. It's the hand of the Lord. It's Jesus Christ. It's God creating you and making you new. Remember, a couple weeks ago, I taught on the word creates a new man. Remember, I mentioned it Wednesday. I brought up Marty as the Ancient of Days. And I brought up Micah as the new man. Who created who? Was it God or the word that created the new man? Now, as a faithful pastor to the Lord, I need to talk about that new man again today. Now, Gary's been preaching about it. Some great stuff. The word of the Lord has come forth. Did you remember when Pastor Brian came here? He actually taught about the word and the revelation of Jesus being the word. Do you remember that? There were several things he taught, but one of the emphasis concerning that is God has stirred the revelation of Jesus up so greatly among us that you're going to hear it coming from every side. You know why that's good? Not one person is going to get the glory among us. Only Jesus will get the glory. Now, what happens when you are made new? You know, what happens? Let's talk about that part. What happens when you are made new? Now, this is going to be good because you're going to be able to look at yourself and begin to see the old and the new. Now, don't be surprised as the old has always been present, hasn't it? How many can say, yep, that's me, but not anymore? You know why? Because it's new, Don. That's why your name is Don, because when the sun comes up, it dawns on you. Right, Don? Oh, my goodness. Remember, I love that old story about the little old lady, remember, sitting on the front porch? She watched the sun go down and sat there all night long, wondering where it went. And in the morning, it dawned on her. Right? That's what's happening. The day star is arising in your hearts, and God is restoring the morning star. And you remember, I preached on that one time about in the overcoming of the church. You know what happens? I believe it's in the second church of Smyrna, if I'm not mistaken. One of the key things as for the overcomer is that the day star, he will give you the morning star. He'll return it to you because in the beginning, that's what you were. And so the overcomer gets a status back of the morning star. That's the brightness of Jesus Christ. Who's the morning star? It's Jesus. So if the day star arises in your hearts, what's rising up? Jesus, the brightness of God, the new man. And that's what's happening. It's like, why is the importance of the new man? Why is it so important? And really, if you want to say the new self, the new person, I don't care what we say. But it's a new creation, and Micah read that scripture so well, it's his workmanship. So let's not forget that. I may assist, other elders and ministry may assist you in creating the new man, but let's not get it wrong. Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, is what works on your behalf to create that. In other words, you could come to church every day, right, Deborah, and leave out of here with nothing. What do we need? We need the Spirit of Christ to work in you to quicken. Just like Paul said, I plant, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. Is that what God's doing right now? See, don't you, I mean, there was a time where you say, feel, you can't go by feelings. That is so true. We're still going to say that. But doesn't it feel good to have God create a new person in you that walks by the truth of God and in the Spirit? Doesn't that feel good? Yeah, it does. And so while my feelings don't lead me, truth does. But boy, truth has some feeling to it sometimes, and I like it, don't you? So here's where we're going with this. It's been so awesome because the word in the beginning in John 1:1, we've talked about that so much, how the word was in the beginning with God, was God, and then the same was in the beginning with God, or the Word was in the beginning with God. That is so awesome. Now that Word created a man called Jesus. Jesus put off the flesh of the earth, and what did he put on? The new man in resurrection. Now, here's my question. Was that new man always there in him, in his consciousness? Listen closely, everybody. What's in you? Is he there? What do you need to do? Shed the old skin. That's it. Shed the old skin of the old. Right, Nancy? Just put it off. And you say, well, wait. Sometimes we think this way. And this happens at first. It's like, I'm wearing one set of clothes and I'm going to put them off and put on a brand new set of clothes. What if you think spiritually? What if God sees those old clothes as new and he just changes them? So the putting off and the putting on is a change of clothing, Brad. Isn't that all it is? How many of you have knowledge? I hope so. How many of you have some wisdom? How many of you have some understanding? How many would say, well, I didn't want to raise my hand because it's all earthly? Yeah, but that's the point. As long as you have it, God's a good workman. You know what he's going to do? Change it from earthly to heavenly. And really, how he's going to change it is he's going to make the earthly wisdom new earth wisdom, new earth knowledge. Because really, isn't this about God making all things new? And that means a new heaven and a new earth, Brad? How many of you think heaven's going to be just me floating around in the air? Where am I? What am I? All I know is I'm in heaven. No, heaven exists because there's a new heaven and a new earth. What takes place in heaven now when all things are made new? Heaven and earth are one. Aren't they? Aren't they, James? Heaven and earth are one. And therefore, when they're made one, is your earth brand new, Brad? So why don't we get started right now? Why don't we get started practicing for a new earth? You want to do that? So how do we do it? I'm going to read some scripture to you today, and I can't help but go to Paul and just read some verses to you because he is the wise master builder to teach us about the new man. You say, well, I want the new man. Well, hang on now. Everybody goes, once again, it's like, I get a new body. Yay, I just get to be with God. That's all we think about. No, there's some works that come with the new body. What do you think the first one is? Well, we could say that. We could answer that in a lot of ways. Because first is going to be all the words of God. So all the first is going to be whatever God gives you. That'll be first. And even the second word will be first. And then the third word will still be the first word he gives you. In other words, they're all first, aren't they? And they're all last. But anyway, the point is, a new one, a new being created, or a new creature created in Jesus Christ. Is he a believer? Come on now. Is he a believer? Does he tell the truth? Does he edify the Lord and everybody that loves the Lord? And then everybody that doesn't, he edifies them to love the Lord. Or does he go around fighting with everybody, cursing everybody, hating everybody, confused all the time? Or is he of a sound mind? Because what mind does he have? Mind of Christ. What's his eye see? You ever been around somebody that all they see is the negative in everything? What's a new man see, Julie? Positive, the good, the things in God. In other words, a new man has a single eye. Remember the parable? You have the evil eye and the single eye. The single eye sees by prophecy. So he's got the mind of Christ. He thinks like Christ. He sees with the single eye, so I can see the word of the Lord in you, and I don't just see what you are now, I see what you will be, who Jesus says you are. That's what the eyes of a new person see. Now everybody listen, because I'm teaching you how to walk in a new man. What do you think the new man hears? He's got ears to hear the word of the Lord. What's the shepherd say about his sheep? They hear my voice. Another they will not hear. They will not. Remember what we talked about, Micah, about The devil's not creating you. God is. You're his workmanship. I love that, man. I should have yelled, keep on preaching, because that's awesome. God is creating. So your ears as a new creature hears the Lord's voice. Now let me ask all of you, is it your mission in life to learn the voice of God? Come on now. Talk to me. Yes. Because there's something very important that's got to happen in the believer, is you need to know God's voice. And you need to know the word of the Lord that's talking to you. Because I was raised in Pentecost. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of voices that people call God all the time. God told me this. God told me that. God said this. Listen, listen, listen. That's not true. God does not talk so much that he overwhelms you and makes you loony. That's not God. God doesn't do that. God talks to you to give you a sound mind and to lead you in the path of righteousness. That's what God does. So when he talks to you, it actually means something to you. That's what a new man does. A new man hears the voice of the Lord and it means something. And you walk in it. Now notice, I'm going from head to toe, right? What's the hell? What? I already said it. What's the head put on? The helmet of salvation. Right? So that helmet of salvation, notice how the mind is saved. The ears are saved. The ears are saved. Now, what's the mouth do? The mouth testifies of the revelation of Jesus. What's the spirit of prophecy, Ernie? Isn't it the testimony of Jesus? So when did Jesus go around backbiting people, hurting people, trying to kill people? When did Jesus do that? When did the apostles do that? Who did that in the Bible? All kinds of people. Who? Satan, Pharisees, Gentiles, false Jews, who judge after the flesh. See, these are things, false witnesses. You know who was really good at it? Jezebel. She would set up false witnesses to go after the righteous. Oh my goodness. And then in the New Testament, the Pharisees, what did they do? They set up false witnesses to kill Jesus. But see, Jesus and the apostles and the righteous, they prophesied. They spoke the word of God into existence. You want to be new? I'm teaching you what you're going to be. I'm teaching you what you are. I'm teaching you how to walk as a new. All we got to just now is the head. And so if you are saved and redeemed by God and made new, you're going to think right, you're going to see right, you're going to hear right, and you're going to talk right. And you are going to keep your eyes on the straight and narrow, and your eyes will not look to the left, and they will not look to the right. Your neck will stay straight, not stiff. And as the Lord guides you, you will follow the Lord. Isn't that awesome? What about the heart? What about the heart, everybody? What's the heart? What's the heart of a new man? Pure? Love it. Honest? Truthful? Fruitful? Wow, these are good answers. What else? Righteous? A man after God's own heart. Preach it, David. Tender-hearted. Faithful. See, I'm surprised no one said love. Like, the most obvious, that was too simple, right? Yes, it is all love, no doubt about it. But notice something here. The heart of a believer has got one thing in mind. Where is the treasure of the believer? In heaven. So where's his heart? In heaven. After God. See, it's interesting that everything that I'm going to describe here in this new man depends on where the heart is, doesn't it? So the heart of the matter is all about loving God, being pure, being truthful. A couple of weeks ago when I taught on that, I brought up something, and I may get back into it here in a minute. If I don't run out of time, I actually do want to read some scripture. But the part of, remember when I got into about lying? You do not lie to one another because you're of one another. See, this is what God thinks. God is not going to lie to you because you're of him. Why would God lie to himself? Now, as human beings, we love to lie to ourselves. So however we choose to do that, remember that false image we like to put out for everybody to see? But inwardly, it could be all messed up. It could be darkness. It could be, and you're the one that knows. So what happens is the Lord wants to create a heart that doesn't lie, a tongue that doesn't lie, a lifestyle that doesn't lie, a lifestyle that's honest. Why? Because I'm new now. I don't have to lie anymore. I don't have to steal or cheat or kill or murder. I don't have to do that. I don't have to deceive. I don't have to live in falsehood. My heart loves God. And Brad, is he creating a new man in righteousness and true holiness? Does righteousness have deception and lies? Is it built on hatred and envy and strife? Or is it built on the love of God, the faithfulness of God, the belief in God, right? That's a new man. What about the hands? What do the hands do? Come on, everybody. They do the works of God. That's a good thought. Brad's back there swinging a sword. Impartation. The laying on of hands is an impartation. Now think of this. Think of how powerful a new man is, a new creation is. The laying on of hands is an impartation of spirit. So if you go about, this is why Jesus would lay his hand on others. He would impart himself of life into a dead place and heal it. Open its eyes. Say, you want to see like me? Let me lay my hands on you. You want to hear like me? Let me lay my hands on you and impart my hearing to you. Let me impart my legs to you so you can walk in the path of Jesus. Let me impart my words of creation to you so that when you are healed and restored, you can lay hands on others and impart to them. Ooh, that's awesome. My God, I'm telling you. I think about the laying on of hands and I get very excited because in a physical sense, how many of you go around and every time you talk to somebody, you go, let me lay my hand on you? You don't, do you? Is the speaking of words symbolic of laying your hands on? It is. So if you can believe it, am I laying my hands on you right now? Am I wanting to impart the glory, the revelation that I've received unto you? Absolutely. So, Don, when you meet with other ladies, are you imparting truth to them? Right, Ann? Imparting truth? Naomi? Imparting truth? Or are we imparting our gossip, our fear, our doubts, our unbelief, and wanting worldly sorrow to join with us in it? Which one? No. We're putting off the old. Tim, we're putting on the new. That's what we're doing. And in putting on the new, that means my hands are anointed of God and I'm going to lay hands on not only the sick, the deaf, those that have devils. We're going to free those who are in need to be free because I'm new. Now, Julie, is that how you think? I'm new. My hands are anointed. How many of you think that way? Come on now. See? We're creating in you new. But not only new thoughts, what else? A new body. Because we say, well, I don't always know how to live for God. He does. He does. So if this new is created in you, you're going to walk and talk like Jesus, like a new person. So the hands, the loins, what are loins for? A new man brings forth truth. So you reproduce truth. How many read the sower went forth to sow his seed? Well, listen, we know it's not a sexual thing. It's symbolic. God forbid that the diversion, occult places do things like that, where the lead guy is wanting to have intimate relations with all the women so he can reproduce himself in the flesh. That's not what Jesus did, is it? That's not what we're going to do. You know what we're going to do? We're going to continue to speak the word, because every manifestation of the new man will come forth in your words and in your actions. Everything. So that's how we're going to live it. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why? What is your path filled with? Let me ask you, John. When you decide and make choices to live for God, do you choose a path that creates strife, or are you going to choose a path of peace? Peace. That's the obvious answer. But how many of us do it all the time? You know what's interesting? A little side note. How many have ever considered that I'm on the path of God, I'm serving God, so I'm on the path. But sometimes in my choices, I like to veer just a little bit. Because I like things, right? Sometimes that's what we say. I like things. So I like to veer away from God in my choices just a little bit, not realizing that I'm altering my path. But when Jesus said the road to heaven is straight and narrow, did he mean it? And how many is going to make that path? He said, few, and I'll tell you why. It's not that the anointing is not for everybody. It's just that everybody doesn't want it. Imagine sitting in a room of 1,000 people and preaching the truth and trying to convince everybody to walk in truth. How many arguments you think you're going to have? Well, look at our government. Look at us. Here's the one thing that the Lord has done for us in this church. I'll tell you, it's like Paul said, I want to boast in God. When people come into our church, there's one consistent thing that I love hearing from people: the unity. Where's the fighting? Where's among the saints? Where? Now, there's going to be temptations and there's going to be tests, but we have to get through those things. But here's what you won't see: a bunch of elders sitting around a table arguing over decisions being made in the church. Ever. You won't ever see it. It doesn't exist here. Now, that blows my mind. What about you? Who could do a thing like that? God. So when you come to the church here, it's amazing the unity that's created. Now, sometimes you have voices arise that create a little bit of discord. Well, the Lord showed me a long time ago, don't worry about that. You just walk in there and keep preaching the truth. Sanctify me and I will deal with it. Okay, you got it, Lord. I'll let you deal with it. And you know, all it takes is a good line of preaching and the word of God to come forth, and God starts dealing with the heart. How many of you have come in your mind at times and been at strife even with your own salvation and sit under the word of God and it just be like, man, what am I worried about? The Lord just takes care of it, doesn't he? Isn't that awesome? This new man is going to walk in the word of God. And he's going to have a helmet of salvation and his breastplate of righteousness, loins girt about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in one hand, he's got the shield of faith. Hoo-wee. Isn't that awesome? And the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. There's your sword, Brad. Because sometimes you got to use the sword to do what? To divide. But I like that. Brad said, to wound and to heal. That's true. But the sword, think about what the word of God, does it rightly divide? The sword of God. See, the sword is not only to kill, it's to divide. So what I'm talking about is the new man. When you look in the Bible, who is a good example of a new man? Paul was a good example. Who else? Jesus was the best example, right? But think about Jesus creating himself in Paul. Paul was awesome. Peter was awesome. Did they have their struggles getting there? You bet they did, but they were changed. And so let's clarify something real quick. How many, when we say God's created a new man in you, how many has said, ooh, wait a second, Jesus is a new man, a full-grown man. He is perfect. That's not me. How many of you see the child in you? What about the young man? See, my point is, a new creation may start out small, but it's a new creation. So don't despise the day of your youth. Embrace it. Learn. Yo, kids are funny, aren't they? You sit a kid down and try to teach them something, it's almost like, you know, when they're two or three, man, they just suck it up. It's just like, teach me, teach me, teach me. Then they start getting older and have learned a few things. Pride and arrogance. And a mouth. A mouth that doesn't think before it speaks. A mouth that could hurt you and say things. It's crazy. But as the order of a young man should be, or a young woman, remember that, should be that as I grow, my goal is to learn and to become more like God. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Has that been the desire of your heart? As I grow up in the Lord in this new, am I learning to hear the Lord's voice? Am I learning what the spirit world looks like? Am I learning what heaven is? Am I learning how to love? Am I learning how to follow the Lord with all my heart? What am I learning? Or as the seductions of the world just work, 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 and distracted me from all of that? Which one is it? So, there is a putting off, isn't there? Does that include choice, Marvin? Marvin. I looked at Marty and I said Marvin. Marty and Marvin. Does that include choice? Putting off the old man. Does that include choice? So who's on board with the Lord? Who's going to choose to put off the old and put on the new? Or are you just going to sit there and go, whenever you're ready, God? See? Stay busy and exercise. Exercise your spiritual growth. Because in the learning and the doing is when you put on. So it's amazing. It's like, I say, Micah, come up here and preach for us. Say Micah comes up here and he says he's preaching away, and then at the end he's like, man, there's a lot I realized that I didn't understand when I was preaching that. Man, it sounded good, Ernie, when I was preaching to myself, but when I got up here, boy, what a flop. I realized I didn't understand this, I didn't understand that. Tell me how good that is for you. Is that exercising? So you say, well, no, if you're going to get up there, you need to be absolutely perfect. That's if you think that all the ministry is 100% perfect with no flaws. But if you think that all of us are here to learn to become a new person, then what are we going to allow Micah to do? Come up, preach, and then learn. My God, I need to seek the Lord here, because I was a little arrogant in my thought I knew everything until I preached it, and then I realized I didn't. Thank you, Lord. I just exercised my faith. Now I get to go forward and actually learn the right way. Isn't that awesome? So how many want to come up here and preach to us? You know what I mean? Okay, fine. Let's go out to lunch and preach to me there. Would that be okay? So you may not be up here, but you could sure preach to me at lunch. I'll even let you by. Yeah. No, see, the order is exercise. How do you walk in a new man? Exercise it. I mean, that's awesome. Now, I'm not going to read it, Dave. I'm not going to do it, because I have ordered out this new man. Now, what I would like you to do, how many will do a homework thing for me? Okay? In other words, you'll exercise it at home. I want you to read Ephesians 4. Okay? Read Ephesians 4. And when you read Ephesians 4, what I want you to look for is the new man. He's talking about the new man and how you were once of the Gentiles in the vanity of your mind, but I want you to put off that way of thinking. And he says something very, very important. He's talking about the old. This is very important. This is the one verse I want you to catch. I'm going to end with this. He's talking about the old, and he says, you have not learned Christ this way. Now, everybody hear me? What are we teaching you? We're teaching you the way Christ walks. And it's a learning you got to do. See, some of you are just waiting for to be perfect. That's not always how it happens. The creation of the new comes from God, but it may be a baby. What's the obligation of the baby? And use the word obligation in a good way. In other words, a true expectation of the child would be to grow up in his creation. So, Brad, were you created just as a man in this world? Or were you created a son of God? So what is your expectation to grow up in? The Son of God. Is that you too, Micah?
Yes.
Your expectation is to grow up in the Son of God. So do you have to be taught how a new man or a new creation thinks, sees, hears, his heart, his feet, his walks, his works, everything? You have to be taught that, don't you? Some of you might say, well, if God wants me to know it, he'll just come tell me. He will come tell you, but you don't always listen. I know, because I've been there. And the good news is, as Gary always says, I got that t-shirt. He changed t-shirts, didn't he? He's got a new one on. How many's noticed that? How many of you got the new t-shirt on? The new garments of salvation. See, you have not so learned Christ in this old. And you finish reading all the way through Ephesians 4, and he starts outlining, this is what you're not, this is what you're not, this is what you're not. And I love the way Paul did it, because he didn't just tell us what the new is, he's telling us what we're not. You're not full of lust. You're not full of filthiness. You're not liars. You're not fornicators. You're not. I love that. And I'm telling you right now, when he tells you what you are and then you realize what you're not, oh my goodness, salvation has come to the kingdom of God. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down. If you want to see Revelation 12 come to pass in your life, where Satan is cast out of heaven and the accuser of the brother has been cast down to the earth, how about letting God raise you up into the new so you can look down upon that old and say, the accuser has been cast down under my feet. Isn't that awesome? I'm telling you, that's awesome. I love it, man. Therefore, are we new? Are we new? And we're going to learn how to walk it and talk it. Say, do I have the Holy Ghost? Let's find out. Are you new? Am I in the rest? Let's find out. And see, I say that because I could tell you that all day long. Who needs to know it? Who needs to think it? Who needs to believe it? That's you. So while one person could be in the rest, the other person may be struggling with it. What's the person in the rest going to do for the other person struggling? Lay hands on him. Speak the spirit of truth to him. Oh my goodness. Judge him with the eyes of prophecy. Hear his weakness or her weakness, and then make a trade. Oh my goodness. If you guys don't join in the new, what good is it for me to be here? What's the point of all of this? If one person or two people or three people become new and nobody else does, what's the point of it? We are all new, and we're going to make sure every one of us get there. The only way you won't is how? We said this over and over. What's the one way you will not join us in the new? You just reject it. Who in here is a rejecter? Go ahead and stand up. It's okay. Stand up. Nobody in here is going to reject God. You're going to love the Lord, aren't you? Well, now, who in here is a believer and made new by the word of the Lord? You stand up. How about that? That's awesome. Now online, I hope you're standing up with us and not sitting in that chair, because the Lord is doing a great work here, isn't he? Now, what do you guys think? Isn't that good? Let's pray real quick. Lord, I thank you because your word has been true from the very beginning. Never lied to us. Never told us a lie. Always told us what we would face. It told us we would be old. It told us it would save us from the old and that we would become new. Your word told us all of that. There's no secret to what you have told us. You have revealed to us the truth of this story. And because of that, we love you and thank you for it. And today I pray that you continue to raise us up by the teaching of the word of God and guide us into all your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, what are you going to do right now? Exercise? Who else? What are you going to do? You going to do that right now? Everybody sit down and read Ephesians 4 before you go. You can't leave the room until you do. Are you going to love God? Are you going to believe God? Are you going to love one another? Are you going to shake hands with one another and bless one another and edify one another and build up one another? Okay, you're dismissed. God bless you.